Good morning, everybody. Let's see. Oh, happy Father's Day to all that applies to. Today, we don't know anymore. I'll tell you something else. Let me see here. Our first song today, 580, and let's stand. 580. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the absolutely beautiful day, Lord, you give us today. A little bit of cooler temperatures this morning, Lord. Just a beautiful day it is. The opportunity, Lord, to come to your house today to worship you. Thanks, Lord, for those that made it. Keeping us safe this past week since we've been away, Lord. Guiding us every day. Providing for us, Lord. What have we to want, Lord? We've got it all. Help us, Lord, to know it and understand it and praise your name for it. Our pastor's here today, Lord. We're expecting a little time in your word today. Guide him, Lord, as he tries to guide us. Give us the ability to listen, Lord, and understand what he's saying to us today through you. May it speak to us, Lord, and may someone here today, Lord, may they get right, Lord, before they leave the building. Thank you for this time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's see. How about, my last song, 413, please, 413.
What the
battles fall. I know where it leadeth. My Father planned it all. I sing through the shade and the sunshine. I'll trust Him whatever befall. I sing for I cannot be silent. My Father planned it all. There may be sunshine tomorrow. Shadows may break and flee. Twill be the way He chooses. The Father's plan for me. Sing through the shade and the sunshine. I'll trust Him whatever befall. I sing for I cannot be silent. My Father planned it all. He guides my faltering footsteps along the weary way. For well He knows the pathway will lead to endless day. I sing through the shade and the sunshine. I'll trust Him whatever befall. I sing for I cannot be silent. My Father planned it all. A day of light and gladness on which no shade will fall. 'Tis this at last awaits me. My Father planned it all. I sing through the shade and the sunshine. I'll trust Him whatever befall. I sing for I cannot be silent. My Father planned it all. Thank you. Let's see, announcements for the week, or whatever's coming up here. Evening service night at 6, we've got our book study going to be continuing tonight. That's real good stuff, so you're missing out there if you don't come. Women's Bible study is June 21st. The Wilton Bible study is scheduled for June 23rd. We have personal evangelism scheduled on the 28th. Our fellowship for this month, the 26th. Kitchen team is Kim, Sharon, and Diane, and whoever wants to help out there. Big thank you to Kathy Hendricks. She's going to be filling in this week for Deb while her and Denny are away on vacation. And let's see. Enjoy the day with your dad. Not everyone has that honor. Happy Father's Day. There is a small gift that we're giving away here at the end of our service today, so make sure you get that. Pastor's thought for the week. Fathers, be examples to your kids as God the Father is to His children, and you will achieve your purpose. Wow. Guys, if you'll come forward now, we'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray, guys. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for this beautiful day. I see the sunshine out there, Lord, and know the blue skies are there. Just thank you so much for it, the opportunity to be here again. Lord, so much you do for us, so much we take for granted. Just thank you so much just for being there, Lord, that we can cast our cares on you. Today, Lord, we're going to give some offering back to you. Lord, we can never, ever even come close to outgiving you. But, Lord, may we remember you today in our offerings. Please be with the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, ladies. Jeff's going to play for us.
I sat down here early because it takes me a little while to get set up for this. Been a couple years since I've had this out. I had to go to dobro instead of regular guitar after having some wrist problems and stuff. So this works for some things. But I haven't had a lot of time to practice, so I'm making excuses now. Just listen to the message. Beside the still waters and pastures agree, the shepherd is leading where all is serene. By day and by night he will always be seen. Beside the still waters of peace, for he a good shepherd who died for the sheep, his own he has promised to keep. He lovingly watches and guards while they sleep beside the still waters of peace. Beside the still waters, the sheep find their rest. The shepherd stands by so that none can molest. The flock by his presence is happy and blessed. Beside the still waters of peace, the sheep now his voice and they go not astray, for Jesus will guide all the way. In paths that are righteous he leads day by day, beside the still waters of peace. He's the good shepherd who died for the sheep. His own he has promised to keep. He lovingly watches and guards while they sleep beside the still waters of peace.
Jesus is not only the living water, but he also has the tranquility of the still water that he brings to our souls, and that's a wonderful thing. Thank you, Jeff. You know, we have so much to be thankful for here at Fruitland, and one of the things is just the ministry in music and how, again, we can allow the Lord to speak to us through the ministry of music. But greetings in the name of Jesus Christ today, and I trust you're having a good day. Happy Father's Day. It is a day designated for honoring our fathers. I think it is always a day to honor our Heavenly Father. And we learned in our junior senior high class today that our God is worthy and he is the pattern for fatherhood. And so look to him today as our example. If you're visiting with us today, we're glad you're here. If you are able, fill out a visitor card. And that card is on the back of your bulletin, in case you ever wondered about that. But we're always glad for everyone that comes through the doors. And I want to tell you, I'm always glad to be available to anyone as well. Doesn't matter who you are or what you do. I'm interested in visiting with you and look forward to greeting you here after our message this morning. The title of our message is a Father's Day message. What else? But also added to that, it's when a father fails. And I stand before you this morning as a father that has failed, not only once, but on numerous occasions. And I still am responsible because I have living children and grandchildren. And so there is a reason why I need to be taught by God the Father to be a better father in the place that I am today. But it's good to see you again today, and we're going to go to prayer. And just remember to pray for those that aren't with us. I know we have some on vacation, but there are other people that are struggling, folks, in our community and in our church with illnesses. Some of you have received this morning that Judy Shipp is not well this morning, but there are lots of things going on in people's lives. There's a lot of hurt out there, too, today, and Father's Day is a day to think about that. Maybe your father hurt you in different ways, or you hurt your father. Well, one of the best things that we can know today, Jesus is still the mediator, and there can be forgiveness and restoration through him. And today's a good day to make a move toward the Lord and toward our fathers if there is a problem in that area. With that said, let's pray, and we'll hit the ground running. There's no note sheets today. You're just going to have to grasp what you can. And if you have a question, listen to the copy of it on the internet or come and talk to me and I'll make you a paper copy. And we'll go from there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for everyone that's come through these doors. It's a great day, Lord, to gather in this iconic place. This is a building where we come to gather. And, you know, I've often wondered, Lord, about the people that are driving by, if they look over here. I think they do, Lord. I think that if we were not here gathered today, there would be some that would notice, and they'd say, what's wrong? But I'm praying, Lord, for the ones that are thinking about this place, that you'll bring them in here, and that they'll have a brave heart. You'll lead them through the doors. And, Lord, as Jeff played this morning in that wonderful special, that they'll come to know the tranquility of the still waters that are found in the living water, who is Jesus. So, Lord, help us to be a lighthouse and an icon here in Fruitland and in the surrounding area where God's word is proclaimed, where love abounds, and, Lord, there is hope for people. And so with that said today, Lord, I do pray for those of our number that are out on the highways and byways traveling, vacationing, other purposes, Lord. I pray for those seats this morning that are empty with people we might usually see here. There could be someone that's ill. We know that Judy Shipp is ill today. I ask again, Lord, your hand of healing upon those type of situations for the physical ailments. And then, Lord, there are people that may be depressed, brokenhearted, Lord, all kinds of things that affect the human experience. Lord, I pray today that you would be the great physician in those areas too and raise them up and lift them up. Lord, I thank you for you today in particular. What a wonderful God you are. We talked in our Sunday school class. You've shown yourself wonderfully today, Lord. The clear skies, the moderate temperatures, what I would call the last few days of perfection, which none of us on this side of eternity deserve, but you see fit through your grace to give them. Lord, your evidence is clear everywhere we go. Now, Lord, today may we worship you in spirit and in truth. And today, Lord, it's a message for fathers. Thank you for your example, Father God, that you've set for us. And I pray again that we would be changed today as we consider a father that was pretty good in the Bible but failed, and how important it is that we get it right. Now, Lord, you know the other problem here today, it's me, and every time I stand behind this desk, I'm scared, Lord. This is not a trite thing to handle your word, and sometimes in my flesh, I don't get it done right. So that's why I'm asking you for help, Lord. I need it all the time. You know I'm a weak guy, but you're a strong God. And as I prayed to you here this morning, I just ask that you'll take over today, and that your spirit would anoint the word and it move into people's hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, friends in Christ, fathers and fathers-to-be, and there's something for you to contemplate on. May you enjoy a day that's set aside in your honor. Hopefully you all have something planned today. And Kim woke me up at midnight and told me, Happy Father's Day. And I said, go to sleep. I did joke with son Mark last evening. He was leaving after doing chores. I said, could I anticipate what I might be getting for a Father's Day gift? He said, well, Dad, times are tough. But, you know, through God's hand, God gave me four beautiful children and a bunch of grandchildren. And, yeah, he's good. And so it's a privilege, you know, to have that role to play. And as I say, I've failed. And I probably will continue to do that, but with God's grace involved, hopefully we can get it right, and we can make a big impact, fathers, on our children and our offspring, grandchildren, and so forth. Who in here this morning is a great-great-grandfather? Anyone? Woodrow? Okay, I'm not. Yep, okay, Dave is. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. That's good stuff. It really is. That's a legacy. You know, as the writer of Psalms said, it's like arrows in the quiver. And our offspring are like those that should defend us when we're attacked when we get old. In the gate, it says, you know. So anyway, that's good stuff. But fathers of faith are mandated throughout God's Word to be spiritual teachers and example setters for our families, which includes our precious gifts from God, our children. When there are no fathers in the home by choice, hear me well on that, the potential for failure multiplies substantially. Dads, we need you, and we need you in families and in homes. By the way, don't forget there are many children. You know, the Bible consistently says we should tend to the widows and the fatherless. If you know a home or a situation, even though it's by choice, if you are a godly father, help that family, help those children. You can make a difference, a great difference for God. Fathers are example setters, folks, for good or bad by default. In other words, no matter what you do or don't do, you are going to set an example. And it's an important thing to consider with it. And I say it very bluntly this morning, deal with it and process it. Because that's where you're at. You're going to leave a legacy for good or bad. Don't you think we ought to leave it for the Lord and for good? Yes. God the Father is our example to be a father, a godly father in all ways. So this morning we're going to explore two basic conditions, and our text this morning is found in the book of Genesis. Genesis means beginnings. You'll find that as the first book of the Bible. You'll find some interesting things throughout this book. It's the answer book. It's God's love letter. And let me tell you, fathers, don't go to the bookstore to buy a bunch of stuff there on how to be a good father. Go to the book. It'll give you all the examples. And you're going to see one that's pretty interesting today because we're going to be looking at a guy named Noah. Now, my grandson from Chicago brought his Bible with him here today to church. And I really like that. And I told him one of the characters in his children's Bible is Noah. Now, what do we think about when we think about Noah? We think about the ark. We think how he obeyed God. That Noah was a pretty swell guy because what? He's a major character in the Bible. And he was. And Noah was a saved man. We're going to see that confirmed in Scripture. And his boys and their wives and his wife were saved as well. But guess what? Noah slipped up as a father in a big way. We're going to explore it. It's a little adult in nature. We'll keep it good. But you consider what's going to take place here and Noah's role as a father. So there are a couple of basic conditions in the hearts of people, and I'm talking here this morning even people that are saved, that have been redeemed. Because we understand while we've been saved eternally from the corruption of the flesh, we still live in the flesh even as redeemed people, right? And we do things that are wrong because it's a part of our flesh. It still is our choice, but we're weak, are we not? We're susceptible to faults, to sin. Anyway, here's the first scenario. This is a heart that wants to do right by God and the example of a godly earthly father. Okay, this is a good heart. All fathers but God fail, though, due to our sin nature at times. But the heart of this person recognizes this and has understanding and compassion for the sin of their father. I wouldn't ask us to raise a hand or acknowledge this, but I doubt if there's a male species in this room that has not had some kind of difficulties with their earthly father. Even the best father. But let me tell you, fatherhood is not an easy role. You got to be prepared to roll with the punches because your children can give you a challenge. Right? You better be up for it. But this is the heart of a person that sees a mistake their father makes and has compassion and says, because God's placed that in their heart, you know, I forgive the old man because really what? I'm no different. And let me tell you, there's a lot of fathers and sons that are broken up. I don't know the situation here in the church, and I would never reveal that if I did. But let me tell you, there's a lot of problems in those areas today out there. People have had a lot of trouble because of a lack of compassion and forgiveness, even for a father who proclaims to be a godly man, because we fail at times. But also the thing is the same on the other side of that coin. Godly fathers have compassion for their children when they fail. And you're looking at old Pastor John here and saying, well, he's not perfect, and I'd say you're right. But God's convicted my heart. I need to have compassion for my children when they fail, just like God has had for me. And even though you don't take a wrong stand about things, you understand where they're at, and you say, pick yourself up, let God help you up, and you get it back on track. And you be the first to say, I forgive you. You know, I know where you're at. You go interview the Brown children, they will tell you the truth. You know, there's a lot of people that tell the truth about me. My wife will. My brother Dave, if you knew him, boy, you want to find the dirt on John. When he was alive, he'd let you have it in abundance. But you get what I'm talking about here. Have some compassion for your children when they fail. This is the proper perspective for our hearts to be in today, both fathers and children, and in particular today, sons, for us all to have under God. And don't ever forget this. I have it underlined here in my scratch notes. By the way, no one can ever preach one of my messages because they can't read the writing. I've told people many times, if something would happen, there's a copy of my message on the desk downstairs. They said, it's of no use because we can't read your writing. Anyway, here it is. A critical father can enhance the possibility to enhance a critical-hearted child. A critical father can enhance the possibility to enhance a critical-hearted child. Be careful with the example you set. Say it, Kim. Pastor John, yes. The second example we're going to look at today, and this is what I want us to think carefully about as well. The second example in this scenario is that of a heart that is under persuasion of Satan and looking for a trigger. You know what I mean by a trigger? An event or a situation that allows that heart to unleash what Satan has been speaking to. And I do believe this can happen even in believers. Satan cannot indwell a believer, but he can certainly have an impact on a believer. And we better be watching it, because he's working in every heart here today, folks. He wants us to slip and fall. He wants to see chaos. He wants to see destruction. He wants to see us separated from God and our walk separated from Him. And so there's a heart that's looking for a trigger. This could be in a father or a child or other people to unleash the wickedness that's pent up in their heart as a slip-up is observed in their example-setting case, like the father that we're going to look up about in our case today, that being Noah. This is the place, though, that fathers need to be careful about slipping up, or if they do, setting things straight immediately. And by the way, what's the first step to seeing things set straight? Ask the Lord for forgiveness. Ask the person for forgiveness. And tell them, I'm not right. I made a mistake. Amen. Fathers need to admit that often. I was wrong. Let me just say this as a sidebar. My sons are getting to the age now, and even the daughters occasionally will ask me and say, Dad, what do you think about this? I think that's really neat. You know, they're getting into their mid and late 30s now. And you know what I tell the boys about farming? Guys, I wouldn't know what to tell you anymore. But I did tell him this a few years, and I tell him I am impressed. I didn't want to use the word proud, but I am proud. You've done pretty well with the things you've had. And, you know, be thankful and keep right on going. I don't see things that you've done terribly wrong in the farming situation. That do what you can. And do what else? Trust God. That's what I tell them all the way. Live by faith. You know, if God wants you to have more ground or wants something to be different, let Him set it up. That's the kind of wisdom I'm trying to give them. But I'm not saying, hey, you missed a weed down there in the pasture. You know. And actually, I used to kind of get after them about that years ago. Now I'm impressed. They're out there spraying, working on weeds. You know, that's the satisfaction this father gets. Seeing that all come around. They're doing a good job. And that is a great thing. Anyway, when people see that bad example, it's trouble. This is the place, though, that fathers need to be, I said this already, but careful about slipping up. So we shouldn't let this happen, is what we're saying here. It's very dangerous, but it does. It is so important because this event in your laps may bring on a flood of destruction in those around you, including your children. Don't you kid yourself. I mentioned in the prayer, people are watching Fruitland Baptist Church. If we didn't meet here today and this parking lot didn't have a bunch of cars in it, they'd be saying, what's going on? They may never set foot here. They may never speak to us, but they know. And folks, our children and we know what's going on in our life. So here it is, folks. When a father fails, the repercussions can be massive. Our Father's Day example is Noah and his family. Genesis 6 through 10 and 7:1. We're going to go through this rapidly, but we want to understand we're talking about a guy here named Noah, a guy who was a saved man. His family was saved. These people were all believers in the God of the Bible. They were saved by grace through faith. That's the pattern all the way through Scripture with God. Even prior to Jesus Christ, we're saved by God's grace through faith. You know what? If you're saved here today, you ought to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. We were chosen of God, folks. Yes, we also made that choice, but God called us. You and I want to be careful how I say this, but we were important to God. Not because we are something special in and of ourselves, but He chose us. And let me say this, if you're sitting in these seats today and you are not saved, you've not been bought by the blood of the Lamb, if God's calling you, you better take action and receive Him today. Trust Him. Believe on Him. Believe what this book says, that we're a sinner and we're needy. We're deficient. But God is sufficient through His Son, Jesus Christ, and His blood on our behalf. That's the good stuff here, folks, today. Anyway, so here's Noah. And we're going to just cement this down a little bit about Noah and his situation. Chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at verses 6 through 10. And of course, you'll have to read in between this, but what was going on in the earth in those days? The Bible records that Noah was building the ark and he was preaching. He was preaching salvation by grace through faith because the earth had become corrupt, and you can read about that. And God was having a real hard time with the people that He created in His image because they'd all turned on Him. And here's what God said. And it repented the Lord, or it grieved the Lord, or God had regrets that He even created mankind because it hadn't worked out the way that it should have because of Satan. He disrupted the whole program right there in the Garden of Eden. It repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. And the Lord said, can you believe this when God had to say this? I will destroy man. Man that was created in His image. He says, I'm going to have to destroy this because it's become corrupt. And they will not repent. I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah, And the Bible records here, it says he found grace. Grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace means God's unmerited favor. God looked upon Noah. God drew Noah to himself. Noah believed God. And you know what? It was counted to him as righteousness. That's the pattern. It's not by works that we do that we're saved. It's by the work of God. And when we believe on it, righteousness is given to our account, imputed to our account. And that's what happened with Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's all by God's grace that we are saved. The faith even to believe is given to us by God. You can check out Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 about that. And then Moses, of course, was given this under inspiration of the Holy Spirit when he wrote it. But he says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. So there we see it. Noah didn't do this on his own, but he was justified by God. He was declared right by God. And it says he came from complete generations. You know, there was some track record in Noah's life. And you can read about his ancestry, but he came from a godly ancestry. Fathers, that's so important that if we are not on that trajectory today, that today's the first day, we begin to live a godly walk with the God of the Bible as an example. Noah had that example. By the way, there's just a few people. Enoch is one of them, is another one that is recorded. He walked with God. What did it mean to walk with God? Noah was in sweet communion with the God of the Bible. He was in a privileged position. Folks, that's the position we ought to be in, especially as fathers today. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. I won't go into the Hebrew pronunciation, all that. And so you see that, three sons. Now over to 7:1, Genesis 7:1. And you need to read the ensuing text, but it'll fill you in on the whole thing. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Now understand this, that there was also a profession of faith in those boys, in Noah's wife, and in their wives. Because God invited them into the ark, which symbolizes salvation. Okay? Noah had an impact. God used the impact that he had as a man who walked with God. And I believe, again, I believe on the basis of what this text says, that whole family was saved people. They were born again. They were given new life. They were saved by grace through faith. And what's God say? I have seen righteousness before me in this generation. That's the immediate children of Noah and his wife and their wives. And of course, God goes through the orders then to come to the ark. So the thing that we want to establish here is this, that Noah and the boys, the mom and the wives, they were saved by grace through faith. They were brought into the ark of salvation. And yet, even though they were saved people, they were what? Two S's. They were sinners. They had the propensity within them, being in the flesh, to what? To transgress against God. That's what a sin is, against his holiness. To slip up, just like we do today. They were sinners, but they were declared righteous by God. And folks, that is the pattern for all time. Now I ask us again, where is your heart today? We can be walking with God, but we can still be under the threat, through Satan's behest, of slipping up and causing great destruction. The second little point today is that after the flood and all the things that took place, if you turn over to Genesis 8, 20 through 9, 1, Genesis 8, 20 through 9, 1, we still find more evidence of Noah's walk with God and the family. Because after this experience where the whole world, other than the aquatic life and so forth, and you can read all the text on that. The Bible answers that very well, how everything took place during the flood. But everything that creeps on the earth was destroyed. God wiped it out. We're going to start over. We're going to start over with Noah's family. People that were justified by him, that were of a godly lineage, but they still had the propensity to sin. Anyway, Noah worshiped. What would you have done after being on the ark all that time? 40 days and 40 nights of rain, the floods come up, takes a while for the floods to go down. He was on there for a while. What would you have done when you got off the ark? I'd have said to my wife, well, I know someone said, praise God. Okay, I believe that you might have done that, but what likely would you have done? Lord, get me away from these people for a while. Get me away from these animals for a while. How many of you have been down to the ark? I mean an ark that is literally built. Yeah, some of us have, or we've taken a trip. That was a big vessel, but I'm going to tell you what, folks, if you'd have been on there all that time, you might have been ready for a breath of fresh air. What do you think, Dave? But you're right, whoever said that, Noah understood what God had done and how he had been preserved, he and his family, and he worshiped God. He understood that God had given them a new lease on life. And that it was going to be he and his family that would replenish the earth. By the way, we're all related to Noah here this morning. We're related to Adam, but we're more closely tied to Noah through one of the three boys. In case you wondered, if you're of European descent, you're related to Japheth. Just wanted to tell you that. If you're Middle Eastern descent, you're related to Shem. And if you come from the African or subcontinent areas and parts of the areas around Israel and in those areas, you're related to Ham. Okay? So we all are descendants. More on that later. Let's read this. 8:20 through 9:1. Keep me on track here. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. You notice here what God told when he said this. I've dealt with this, but there's what? The potential is there for more to come. Folks, if you don't believe that, look in our world today. Sin was not defeated in that instance in totality. It was for those that will receive by faith the God of the Bible, and in our day, the God of the Bible in the form of his son, Jesus Christ. But sin is still a danger to those yet, even after that great event that had taken place. You'd think that they would have got the idea, but folks, it still dwells within us, that potential. You know? And God gave some promises here, by the way. I hate to tell folks in that are talking about climate change. And by the way, I think there is climate change. And I do think man may have something to do that with that. But let me tell you, God's got it all under control. And you can count on this. There's going to be spring, summer, fall, and winter, as long as the earth remains. God said so. But he'll never destroy the world through a flood, or humanity through a flood. That doesn't mean there won't be floods locally. But I told our Sunday school class this morning, you better get prepared, because God is going to destroy it one more time. And this time it's going to be with fire. Come back, I've preached on that many different things, but we better be on the right side of things here. By grace, through faith. Anyway, how far was I going? Oh, 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall... Are we going to have a nuclear winter? Not unless it's a nuclear spring, summer, and fall with it. Doesn't mean there couldn't be nuclear weapons used, but they're not going to destroy the earth. God already told us that. Maybe Dr. Kissinger could be enlightened about that yet before he passes into eternity. Anyway, 7:1, right? Or 9:1. Read it to me, folks. And God... In my vernacular, and in the corn sheller man's vernacular that he used to use, he says, get to going and get down the line with things. But keep honoring me, right? They had the basis. They knew what was going on. All right, this takes us now to what took place. Over to chapter 9. We're going to be in 18 through 27. So we've established that Noah and the family were what? Saved people. but there were still problems. Beginning with verse 18, chapter 9. The waters dry up. They're off the boat. God gives a few more regulations here. You can read all this. And you probably have before. We've preached on most of this before in all these years. But you know what? You want trouble in your life? Start farming. It says here in verse 20, and Noah began to be an husbandman. A husbandman is another word for a farmer. You think you've got trouble now, come to the farm. It's not as idyllic as most people think, for those of you that have been around it. It's a rough place. Brother Marlon, you agree with that? Kansas City's much easier than being out on the farm, isn't it? I don't know if Terry's cut out for farming. Oh, okay, that's right, Kansas. Yeah, okay. Well, I'm sorry, Terry. Please forgive me. That was a reckless statement to make. Lord, forgive me. Noah plants a vineyard. What do you grow in a vineyard? Thank you. And of course, Noah went ahead and did what? He produced the grapes and he produced wine. And this wine was intoxicating, folks, or else he wouldn't have become. It doesn't say well drunk here. It just says he was drunken. In other words, it implies that Noah was hitting the juice from the farming. And that's why I caution you about farming. Don't get involved in it, because it can drive you. Oh, no, that's the Hot Rod Lincoln song. You bunch of young people, you never heard Commander Cody and his Lost Planet Airmen? Son, you're going to drive me to drinking? Bill, finish it. If you don't stop driving that. Yeah, Bill, you've heard that, haven't you? Hey, I want to give you a warning here, though. One of the dangers and one of the things that Satan will use, mind-altering substances. When you depart from God's clear thinking in your mind with those type of substances, you better watch out, because Satan's knocking at the door. And there's going to be big trouble come of it. Noah drank the wine and he was drunken. Now I got to be careful, because I'm thankful we have young people in here. It doesn't mean, though, in this verse when it says Noah was uncovered in his tent that he forgot to wear a blanket on his bed. Noah was drunk out of his gourd and he was committing lewd. And if some of you adults want to know more, I'll talk to you at the door. You can call me or whatever. But Noah was, and we don't know exactly what he was doing, but he was doing things you shouldn't be doing. Sinful things. Things that caused at least one of his sons, well, all of them, we'll see the reaction. It caused a reaction. And in verse 22, Ham, and by the way, it tells you who Ham's children are going to be, and one of his sons is going to be Canaan. By the way, if you trace back what happened with the Canaanites, and what they've evolved into over the years, they have a connection with the Arabs, and they've been enemies of God's people. I'll tell you what happens here, but when Noah slipped up, and the heart of Ham was wrong about this, it was the trigger that started trouble that Satan used to bring much harm that goes on to this day. Fathers, think about this stuff. Here it is. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. By the way, what should he have done right then? Remember our two people we talked about? He should have thought, the old man, he's had a lapse into sin. You know what? I need to watch out. I need to have compassion for him. And you know what? I need to go and cover up the things he was doing and not look at it. You notice the two brothers, when they came along, what'd they do? They didn't look on their dad. They walked backward and covered him up, because they had hearts that were not being triggered by Satan. But what did old Ham do? He takes a look, and it's unleashed in his heart, because what happened there with his father? And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. And what did he do? It says here, and told his two brethren without. In other words, he made a mockery of his dad. He went and told the brothers, hey, the old man's out of his tree. I have a lot of thoughts about this. I'd tell you about it if you want to at the door. But what he should have done was what? Not looked at it, turned around immediately, covered his dad up, had compassion for his dad when he slipped up, and shut his mouth. But he couldn't do it, could he? He had to be used of Satan. The trigger was pulled. But look what Shem and Japheth did. They took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward and they saw not their father's nakedness. Young people here today, if you're old, I want to say the old man has messed up. Don't mock it. Don't encourage it. Don't let it be the trigger in your life. Have compassion for him. And fathers, have compassion for your sons and daughters and those around you. Because if you don't do it, it's going to turn into tragedy. And don't get into farming. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. How do you think this damaged things? I believe this. The Bible does not say it was ever repaired. I think this is an eternal blemish on Noah and on Ham. And the disruption continues to occur to this day. What will you do in your life, in your situation? What will I do in mine about these very type of things? We've heard the formula today. Have compassion. Don't let this trip you up, but help the man that got tripped up. And in this case, it was Noah, the dad. Now, I've got a whole bunch of stuff written down here. How far are we going? 20 through 27. And he said, blessed, and this is after he's straightened around here off the juice. He says, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Folks, if you're here this morning, we are the recipients of the blessing of Shem and Japheth. Because what that is, it's the Judeo-Christian culture. And no matter what anyone wants to tell you today, we are blessed because of it. It doesn't mean everyone's right, that all things have been done right, that there's not sin. But we're the recipients of that background. But the descendants of Cain and of Ham have by and large had a rough go. I am not, I believe in ethnicities. I believe there's only one race. But if you look at the descendants of Ham, they have not had the blessings that we've had. And I gave you some of the geographical locations for that. Now, I wrote all this stuff down and it's time to go. And it's time to go. Noah's sin, his failure. Remember, that's the point of remit. Fathers fail. When a father fails, open the door to Satan's wicked prompting, even in a believer's heart, by Noah and Ham both. And it exposed how the sinful example of a godly father could even affect a godly son and his descendants' relationship toward God in the future. Had Noah not sinned and the door not opened in Ham's heart, the world may be a different place today. The curse was really upon Ham's son Canaan and his descendants to come, by the way. That's what the Bible says. So, that brings us down to the conclusion. So, that's our Father's Day thought. By the way, I think it's a tough piece of meat to chew on for all of us in here. You know, we can all head out, do our merry way, but this is something that's worth thinking about because it's reality. So that's our Father's Day thought. Fathers, your and my sinfulness exposed may open the floodgate to your children's wicked potential to be unleashed. Keep yourself and your heart and your testimony pure before God and your children. A godly father, like a godly mother, may have long-lasting repercussions as the Holy Spirit restrains potential sin to be unleashed in the lives of our children. Because it could be me, it could be you, your children, but Satan's got something in the hearts that if the right circumstances come about, it will trigger it. Paul told us that, didn't he? He says, I know what I should do, but what? And I'm paraphrasing, but I don't get it done. Because we have a hinderer. We have a worker of iniquity, and it's the old serpent himself. Repentance, confession, and forgiveness can unwind the chaos if it is genuine. I underlined that, by the way. Genuine. Fathers, this is a good day to evaluate and set straight our track record with our Heavenly Father and our earthly Father and our children and others. If we do nothing, we can guarantee the outcome. Enough said, right? I wonder if Noah and Ham ever set it straight. I don't think it was ever recorded so in Scripture. And sometimes, you know what, folks? Hard hearts allow things to never be undone. Wouldn't that be a shame today? By the way, you know, there used to be some old evangelists. They said, I'm thinking it was Billy Sunday had this little tag. He said, call your mom or your dad on Mother's Day or Father's Day. Some of our parents are departed. But the ones that still remain, or your children are around, be a good day to get it right, wouldn't it? I don't know if they ever set it straight. I don't think they did. But my closing comment is, don't let this be us today. And with that, I'm going to say, Happy Father's Day. Jesus is open for business. Our Heavenly Father has endorsed that He would be available for you and I today. For special needs. I'm done yakking. Amen. Let's take our hymnals. 638. Let's stand if you're able. Some people said, John, what's this hymn about? It's old and archaic. Yes, it is, but it's relevant. 638. Faith of our fathers. You know what you should be thinking about? Number one, our Heavenly Father today. His track record's pure. He's holy and righteous. But also think about your fathers today, your earthly fathers. See, I could start to cry. Some of them have slipped up. All of them have, honestly, in ways, you know. But there's also been some godly fathers that tried to do their best. Do you have that faith in your life today as a father or father-to-be or a mother? Are you doing your best for Jesus Christ today? To see a generational legacy. That's what this hymn is about. Jesus is waiting for you today. If you need help or want to talk, I'll be glad to talk with you as well. I can show you things, but He's the only one that can fix it. And you. Let this be a special Father's Day. Verse 1. Faith of our fathers live. Forward to seeing you at the back door if you're able. Jason, would you close today in prayer, please?